You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Romans 12 chapter. This is going to be a real basic message. You're going to love it. Because it's the Word. Amen. Brother Olson, you say cornbread and beans. Nothing fancy, no steak and potatoes, but just good basic cornbread and beans. In Romans, the 12th chapter, nothing new. I'm sure you've heard it over and over. It's a great verse, but it's such a revealing verse. You know, I love the Word. Don't you love the Word?
Yes, sir.
It's nothing like God's Word. You can read it over and over, and it just get more truth out of it. Even sometimes it's the same truth, but it's truth we need to hear over and over. You know,
amen.
Mike, it's good to have you with us. Good to see you. How you doing, Chris? Good to see you. All right. Good to see everybody. Y'all wave around to everybody. Good to be seen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Romans 12 chapter. Notice what it says here in the 21st verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yeah.
That is a profound verse. And I know we hear sermons on living right and living holy and sermons against sin, as it were, and rightly so. We preach that. We teach that. But what God is trying to tell us is that sin and evil, if you go that route and you live that way, you're going to be overcome by it.
Yeah.
Because that's just what it does. It overcomes us. If you're going to live angry, anger is going to overcome you. It's going to rule you. It's going to be your king.
Yeah.
You're going to bow down to anger. You're going to give in to it every time it crops up. Emotions, whatever they may be, you could give in to depression. You could let depression rule you. Depression is not a good. It's an evil. It's a bad thing. You need peace. You need joy.
That's right.
See, God doesn't give out depression. He gives out joy.
Yes.
You don't need God to be depressed. You know, in fact, you can't get depressed with God. You know, just the opposite. He gives peace. He gives joy, those kinds of things. And what joy does, it frees you. It releases you. But depression overcomes you.
Yeah.
It binds you. You know, we talk about people taking drugs. Well, they're just taking drugs, man. They're just taking drugs. No, drugs are taking them. They're taking them. And so you give in to this, and you give in to this, and you give in to this. It finally overcomes you. Now, the things of God don't work that way. God's not coercive. God's not demanding. God's not, He doesn't overrule your will. Even love. Love's still a choice.
Yeah.
But it does change you, no question. But, you know, it's something you overcome with. It's not something that overcomes you. Mm-hmm. But anger is different. Anger is not something you overcome with. Some people deal with problems through anger, they think. But what's happening is anger is starting to rule them and overcome them. And that's why God talks so much about evil, because evil is a controlling force. Love's free.
Right.
Forgiveness is free. Grace is free. Peace is free. It's a choice. But all these other things that are start out as choices, they begin to take you over. And they change you into something that you were never meant to be. If you become bitter, it'll change you into a very, very bitter person. Think about it. I mean, that's a powerful thing. So be not overcome of evil. That's an interesting way to say it. Be not overcome. He didn't say, do not use evil, do not do evil, although he does say that in many cases. But in this scripture, he says, be not overcome by evil. But overcome evil with good. Wow, you just think he'd say, don't do evil, do good. Which that's in there too, and that's in there many times. But here he's making a point that evil's not just something we do, it's something that will begin to rule us and overcome us. Wow.
Yeah.
Evil overcomes. Good makes us an overcomer. I love that. That's good stuff. Amen. And so if you choose to love, although it does not seem like the right thing to do sometimes, if you choose to forgive, although it does not seem like the right thing to do, if you choose the way of God instead of bitterness and revenge and all those kinds of things, you will free yourself up. Hallelujah. You'll start walking free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you choose vengeance, if you choose unforgiveness, if you choose not to forgive, you're going to be overcome by it, and you're going to turn into something you were never meant to be.
That's right.
Wow. So these little choices we make when we stand at the crossroads of life, you know, about whether to do right or do wrong, it's we're choosing freedom or we're choosing bondage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're choosing to be free or we're choosing to be enslaved. Because God knows that any wrong decision on our part is just slowly binding us and causing us to be overcome. There should be a warning label on unforgiveness. Actually, there is. There's a whole Bible full of it. should be a warning label on anger. These can be addictive. Hello. Are you with me? Actually, they will. They are. You will get hooked. You keep going that route. If you go that anger route and that revenge route and that hateful, and just, bless God, I'm going to just give them peace of my mind. That's why you don't have any mind left. So you just give it all away. You know? You that's why you're losing so much ground, because you've been throwing so much mud, you've got no ground left. Are you with me? This is profound. Y'all need to write that down. So God's just trying to help us. He's just trying to bless us. He's just trying to get us, you know, in His, well, as Larry said, you know, as you do what Jesus says, you're going to overcome. They're going to see you overcome. The world will see you overcoming. And you can easily point to why you're overcoming, because you choose to do what God says. Why do you remain at peace in the midst of all this turmoil? Why is it you as a Christian, as a believer, can have such confidence, such courage, such peace? How come you're not overcome by this news, this event, this tragedy? Because you've chosen to believe God and do the right thing. Therefore, you overcome instead of being overcome. You ever notice that in a situation where someone chooses to pray and trust God and they just have such peace? And what's going on does not overcome them. Isn't that right? Because they chose to overcome instead of be overcome. Wow. Evil is always that way. Sin's always that way. Unforgiveness is always that way. God's not being mean. He's not being hard-nosed about this thing and trying to get you to forgive somebody that sinned against you. I love that quote. St. Augustine said this back in 400 A.D., around that area. He said, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. It starts out pretty innocent. You were sinned against. But you know what? If you don't forgive that person, you're going to get in sin.
That's right.
And I love what the Bible says, enter not into another man's sin. Sometimes we enter into their sin by not forgiving them.
That's right.
And then the hate comes and the bitterness comes. And you know what? Then we become a bad person.
Yeah.
And it didn't start out that way. We didn't do anything wrong. But you know what? We didn't let it go either.
Yeah.
Because we didn't let it go, it overcame us. See, because evil always overcomes. Good will always make you an overcomer. Evil will always overcome you.
Amen.
You got bit, you know, by that snake. Now you need to shake it off. That's what Paul did on the Isle of Malta. You know, the snake bit him. Notice he didn't run around and start showing everybody the snake. He shook it off. And that's what you need to do. Don't go around and show everybody you got bit. Tell everybody you got bit. And tell everybody about your sin. They sinned against me. They did this and they did it. And you won't be quiet about it. And you know what? That poison just gets in you. You start getting all puffed up. We can see you puffed up. You puffed up. Because poison does that.
That's good.
Hey, I'm talking to me just like I'm talking to you. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. Just stay with me. Don't. You're saying, he's talking to me. Well, yeah, I am. Talking to every one of you. And me too. You know, we're all in this thing together. And we all have choices. Life is a series of choices. We stand at a crossroads every day. Things happen to us all the time. Come on, we got all kinds of people we're involved with. Good, bad, indifferent, friends, relatives. People don't like us. You know, you got choices. You know, whether you're going to live this way and do what God says or not. And what you're choosing is, you're going to be free or you're going to be overcome. What are you going to do? You're going to live your life overcome by depression. You're going to live your life overcome by hurt and bitterness. You're going to live your life overcome by anger. And just be an angry old person. Get older and angrier. Woo! Or you want to become what God wants you to be. There's a price to pay. There's a choice to make. You can't just go with what your body... You know, this is a horse you're riding here, okay? This horse always wants to go back to the barn. You know anything about a horse, you know what I'm talking about when I said that. You got to make this horse go where you want it to go. Take the reins to this horse that you're riding, this vehicle, this car, this body. Don't let this body tell you where to go. Who's riding this thing? Well, I felt like it. Well, there's your first problem right there. You felt like it. Well, see, you're supposed to overrule your emotions. Your emotions are not supposed to rule you. You're supposed to rule them. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, it takes time. It takes discipline. It doesn't happen overnight. I understand that. I'm not saying it's going to be just real easy. It is simple, but it takes work.
Yeah.
Amen. But in Jesus' name, you can do it.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He overcame. We can overcome. Be of good cheer, he said. I've overcome the world.
That's right.
That's what he was saying, was he, since he's overcome, we overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. So it says, be not over. How are you going to overcome? With good.
Yeah.
With good. How you overcome evil? With good. How you overcome anger? With love. How you overcome unforgiveness? With forgiveness. So I don't feel like it. Well, of course you don't feel like it. He didn't say feel like it. He said do it. God doesn't hold you accountable for your feelings. He holds you accountable for your actions. He holds you accountable for what you say and what you do. He doesn't hold you accountable for what you feel. Think about feelings. You can change them. You can change your feelings. You can't. By changing what you say and changing what you do. You can change feelings of bitterness towards someone by praying for them every day. I've never known anybody that I could ever hold bitterness and hate that I was praying for every day. Never. Never. If I'm upset with somebody, I can guarantee you I'm not praying for them. Oh, you're thinking, who are you upset with? That's none of your business. But evidently it's somebody I'm not praying for. But if you're mad at somebody, get on your knees and pray for that person. I don't feel like it. Well, of course you don't. That's why God said do it. Because He knew you wouldn't do it unless He told you. Don't you get the point? I mean, that's why He said forgive, because you weren't going to do it. That's why He said love your brother, because you don't want to do it. That's why He told you to do it, because He knew you wouldn't want to. But He knew if you do it, it'll free you up. It'll keep you from being overcome by this anger and this self-centeredness that we all deal with. Are you with me? And having my own way and asserting my authority. Taking control. We often do that. You know, we'll holler louder thinking we're going to take control of the situation. No, you're just losing control is what you're doing. And the louder you holler, the more control you lose. Woo. Man, it's quiet in here. What is it so quiet in here? Okay. Everybody say conviction. Conviction. Not condemnation. Okay, that's what we're talking about. This is conviction. That's good. That's a good thing. You know what? I want to be convicted. I do. I want to be told I'm wrong. I don't want you to tell me. I want God to tell me. But isn't that true? You don't want anybody telling you. You know, God can tell you. Don't you tell me. Last thing I want to hear from Brenda is when I'm in sin is tell me, quoting some scripture to me, or tell me I ought to listen to my sermons. I don't want to hear that. You know, but we need that. We need that. Thank God. I don't want to get down the wrong road. Just keep going down the wrong road and just getting further and further and further away. Come on, pull the reins in. Let's turn this thing around. Let's do good. Let's do right here. Do the right thing. Love is right. Forgiveness is right. Living holy is right. Okay, it's the right thing to do. It takes a man to serve Jesus. It takes a real woman to stand up for Jesus Christ. Real men love Jesus. They do. Real women pray and seek God's face and stand up for what's right. Amen. It takes a real man and a real woman to do that. And that's freedom. Oh, hallelujah. That's freedom. Turn over to Proverbs Proverbs 1. Let's look at a couple of examples here. Yeah. God gives us several. Thank God for Proverbs.
Yes.
You got to love it. It's real practical. It's where the rubber meets the road. And living this thing out. You ought to ask yourself when you're, you know, thinking about something in the Bible or some spiritual truth is, how do you live that thing out? How does that apply to my family and to my job? And are you with me? Because if it doesn't have that, if there's no fruit from it, then what's the point? I mean, we could talk about all kinds of abstract things out of the Bible, and sometimes my mind gravitates that way because they're interesting, you know, to the intellect and the mind. But the bottom line is it going to help me have a better marriage? Is it going to help me live for God? Is it going to help me be a witness? Is it going to help me raise my children? And I mean, how does that apply to my life? Proverbs is kind of like that. It's real practical. It's just like the book of James in the New Testament. It's a very practical book. Hallelujah. So you ought to ask yourself that question, even in this teaching, every time you hear a message, is how can I apply that in my life? What do I need to change? Are you with me? I'm sure there's some things we need to change. How about you? Can you think of some areas that you're probably not praying about or you're probably not doing what God says to do? That's conviction. That's good. That's the Holy Spirit dealing with you. That's a great thing. Take that and run with it. Don't run out of here and just say, man, that was a great service, just awesome worship and an awesome church. And man, that preacher looked good. I'm telling you, he's a great... No, no, just stay with me. But I mean, don't run out of here and say all that. Run out here and say, man, I'll tell you what, God moved on me. God spoke to me. I'm going to do better. I'm going to do this. In the name of Jesus, I can do this. I can do better. So you're not hopeless or helpless here. No. Don't think you're doomed to live this sin that you're sinning over and over and over. You can overcome sin with the Word of God. It may not happen overnight. You probably didn't get in this mess overnight. You probably won't get out overnight. But you can get out if you'll start working on this thing. If you'll start centering in on it and saying what God says and turning it around. Make a habit of serving God. Make a habit of praying. Make a habit of lifting people up you're mad at and upset with, if that's the case. Could be something else. I don't know. Any number of sins we could just list here. But you know, I mean, I know the Spirit's moving here and dealing with your heart. But take the Word and run with it. Don't be overcome by evil. Don't you let the devil have your life. Don't do that. Well, bless God, I'm just mad about it. No, you're being overcome by it. You got to let it go. Are you with me? I'm serious about this. This will ruin your life. I can't afford that. I don't have that luxury, okay? If I'm going to be honest and real as a pastor up here, I can't hold bitterness toward people because I got to preach to you every Sunday. And that's a good thing. I like that. I like that. It frees me up. I realize that we're all imperfect in some ways or another. We've all said things that we shouldn't have said, done things we didn't. But basically, if we'll serve God, there's hope for all of us. You know, every person, if they get right with God, are wonderful people. They get right with God. So you just have to pray for people that they'll turn around or whatever the case may be. Don't take things so personally. You know, I used to in the early days when I started the church, somebody disagreed, I'd take it personally. Or, you know, I just get to where it doesn't take it personally. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, we all have different ideals. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, ultimately, as far as the direction of the church, I'm the cat skinner. So, I'll take advice. Are you with me? And we do take advice. But I know I've got to finally make that decision. I understand that as the leader. I don't do this as a dictator. I'm not a dictator, goodness gracious. We pray about things. But I don't take things personally. Come on. You can't do that. When something bad happens, don't take it personally. You know, bad things happen to everybody. It's probably whatever's happening to you is probably happening to somebody else. Might even happen again. You got two choices. You can go down or you can go up. What are you going to do?
Come on, that's really good.
You going to go over or you go under? What are you going to do? Give up? You going to let this thing just rule your life and ruin your life? No, come on. Let's overcome this thing with good.
Amen.
Let's rise up. Let's turn this adversity into an advantage. Let's turn this pain into power.
Come on. Good.
Woo!
Amen.
Oh, I'm starting to preach now.
Yeah.
Let's turn it around. Let's turn it around. Let's overcome this evil with good. Let's don't let this thing overcome us. Had something bad happen to you joining a club. We've all had bad things happen to us. I'm not belittling or demeaning it. I know it hurts. We've all hurt. You cut us, we bleed. I understand that. But see, we have got to get up on our feet. We got to call out on God. We have got to overcome this thing. We cannot let the devil win this deal.
That's right.
This is bigger than us. It's bigger than me. I've got to win. There's other people looking to me. There's other people that need my faith. They need my victory. They need my integrity and my character. They need me to serve God. They need to see me win. They need to know they can win. It's bigger than me. It's a lot bigger than me. So let's don't be overcome. Let's overcome this thing. Hallelujah. And then we can stand up with moral authority and tell them they can overcome because we did.
That's right.
And we got the testimony to back it up. We have the moral authority and grounds to say, yes, I had that happen to me. And you know what? I prayed and stood on the Word of God and God came through and He'll come through for you too. Woo! Proverbs 1. Notice what it says here. Just good advice, good instruction. Love Proverbs. It says in the 15th verse, my son, do not walk in the way... Well, back up. 10th verse. I'm way, way, way off here. 10th verse. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Pretty simple. I mean, and we're enticed all the time to sin. Gossip, if that's the case, or be angry. You know, I have to watch. I have to be careful watching news shows. I get angry too, you know. Right with me. I have a lot of issues with our president. I mean, but you know what? I've got to pray for him. He is the president of the United States of America, and God forbid that somebody wouldn't be praying for that man. Did I say that right? I didn't. Okay. Now, but if you don't pray, you get so mad and angry and bitter. And now you can disagree. I disagree with a lot of policy, And I believe in being active, you know, politically and so on and so forth. That's fine. That's all wonderful. But you see, there is never, ever a special case where you can hate somebody. Okay? Can't hate. Can't do it. We don't go out and blow up abortion clinics. You hear me? We don't do that. We're Christians. We don't do that. We pray for people that do those things, doctors and women that have abortions. We're not even against them. If they want to repent and come here, come on. My goodness, God will forgive you, we'll forgive you. We don't hate homosexuals. We're not out there shooting homosexuals, beating up homosexuals, making fun of. No, come on now. Look, it's a sin. If they repent, come on, I'll take them. We'll take them all. If they repent. You catching what I'm saying? Because here's what will happen. You'll be overcome by this hatred, by this racism, by this prejudice. You have to define these terms. What are we against here? We're against the damages of sin. We're against the ravages of sin. We're against what sin does and how the devil manipulates people, overcomes people. We're against that, not the people.
Amen.
Man, get quiet in here when I talk like that. But it says here, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Don't go with them. Don't you do that. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Don't know. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol of the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. If you'll just compromise and sin and do something just a little off center here, you can be blessed and have all kinds of money and riches and this and that. No, no, no. Do evil that good. Let us do evil that good may come. God forbid. Cast in your lot among us. The 14th verse. Let us have one purse. 15th verse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners. Now notice what he's saying here. They're going out to do evil, but you know what? They're hurting themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. They're setting a net out there for people by doing wickedly and evil, and even lying, if that's the case, or bitterness or hatred. You know what? They're just trapping themselves. And anytime you go in sin or do sin or give in to sin, you're setting a trap for yourself.
Amen.
See, the pleasure of sin is for a season. I understand that. A lot of things in life, for just immediate gratification, immediate pleasure, there's pleasure in sin. I mean, no sense in lying about it. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It's only for a season. And then payday comes.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do this and get away with it. It feels good at the moment. But you know what? Payday's coming. And you know, drugs feel good when you first do it. Hello. But then they get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Then you hate them and you love them. You got to have them. You got to have them, but you can't get rid of them. Hello, they overcome you. They take you over. They completely rule you. You know, I remember when I used to live like that before I got saved years ago. You know, I'd do drugs and I was lost. I got kicked out of high school at an early age and, moved out of the house when I was 16. Well, I was almost 16 years old when I moved out of the house and started, you know, hanging around the wrong crowd. Actually, I was the wrong crowd. I never could use that excuse because I was the crowd, okay? But you do all that stuff and then you get all high and you stay high for 3 days and you couldn't come down, so you go take downers so you could come down. It's a crazy way to live. Up for 2 or 3 nights, you know, and you can go to sleep, so you take a bunch of downers so you can go to sleep, and then you crash for 2 or 3 days, and then you finally get straightened out enough to where you can go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And you think you're living the life. And you wake up and you don't know where you've been. You don't know what happened to all your money. It's all gone.
Yeah.
Can't remember anything that happened the night before. Woo-wee! I gave it all up for Jesus. Are you with me? I remember, I did acid. I don't want to tell all this, but I used to do this. Oh, man. See all kinds of things, you know. And I'd go out and stay in a tent I put a tent up. My father had land way out in the country, and my uncles had land out there. Go put a tent out and try to dry out for 3-4 days to get my mind straight, you know. I remember looking up at the stars and thinking there was just nothing up there, nothing, emptiness. And just the fear and the emptiness that hit me in my gut. And then I'd get straightened out and go back and hit it again. I'm thinking, boy, I was having fun. I was being a man. I was completely controlled and overcome by that lie. In fact, I remember after I got saved, looking up at the stars one night. My dad lives 4 miles down a dirt road, and I was looking up at the stars, and I remember what David said in Psalms 8. He said, "When I consider the stars, the moon that shines at night, the work of thy hands, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and given him authority over all the works of your hand, all cattle, all oxen, all sheep." And I thought about this whole universe. Instead of looking up with fear, instead of looking up at an empty universe, I looked up at a Father that loved me even more than all that and gave me authority over all that. And one day I'm going to rule forever, and you are too, and all of us are going to rule with him forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
And it's a totally different world now. Now, I thought I had it all together back then, but it was all overcoming and ruling me. And now I'm starting to overcome in Christ without all that stuff I thought I had to have to make it through life. And all that stuff was just ruling me. Sometimes we think we found our place in the world, and the world's just found its place in us.
Yeah. Come on.
We need to be ruled by nothing but love. Nothing but God. Amen? And in a sense, that doesn't even rule us. Sin will always overcome you. Turn over to Proverbs 11. Is this helping you? Thank God for salvation. Thank God for freedom. See, Jesus didn't come to put you in bondage. He came to free you. He came to set you free. You were already in bondage. You were already a slave and in servitude. He came to set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Doing good frees you. It doesn't bind you. Oh, it has restrictions. It has rules, but the rules are good. Thank God for rules. Aren't you glad we got rules on the highway out there?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you know you stay on one side, the other car's going to stay on the other side? That's good. Those are rules. That's good. Without rules, that ribbon of highway or asphalt out there that gets us from one place to the other become a death trap. But with rules, it's a tremendous blessing. You get from one place to the other, and people stay on their side, you stay on your side, you stop when you're supposed to stop and go on green and stop on red, and it's wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank God for rules.
Yeah, amen.
Are you out there? So, what are you talking about? I just can't believe I got to do this. Why I got to forgive that person? Hey, you know why you got to forgive? So you can get on down the road and not have a head-on. God doesn't want you to have a head-on collision. Everybody loses. Everybody goes to the hospital or the morgue, one of the two. Are you with me? But God wants to free us up, see, so we don't have to make that trip.
Amen.
Avoid that accident. Okay, Proverbs 11. Notice what it says here in the... The Proverbs 11, verse 9. It says, "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." That's interesting, because if you go a little further with that, it's in Proverbs 18. It says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are a snare unto his soul." So although he's out destroying his neighbor with his mouth, he's wind up really destroying himself. And when you're out to get someone or out to have vengeance, you're really killing yourself. You're overcoming yourself. And he goes on and says, "When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices." Hallelujah, somebody. "When the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." Isn't that something? The city is actually overcome and overthrown by wickedness. Now he's talking about a whole city. So the more wickedness, the more we're ruled and overthrown and overcome. The more righteousness, the more we're blessed and freed up. It's really pretty simple. We try to complicate the matter. We try to make special cases. I love that. You know, we'll make a special case. We're not supposed to forgive somebody, or we can get angry about this. And, you know, we're human. We have anger. We have bitterness. It comes. But you have to overcome it, or it will overcome you. That's what he's saying. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Woo!
That's right.
You want to be an overcomer?
Yes.
Turn to 1 John 5. All I can say is I really... sense that God wanted me to minister this, so there must be a bunch of y'all in sin this morning. That's all. No. Truth be known, usually I'm going through something and I'm dealing with it, and then, you know. Not in this case. Not, I'm just saying generally. That's okay. Yeah. How many of you can relate what I'm talking about? I mean, is it relating? I mean, can you say, oh yeah, yeah, need that. Need that, preacher. Glad you preached that. I'm going to get that CD for somebody that's not here that needs it. Yeah. And you, CDs are cheap. We're $1 a piece. They're available right after the service, too, if you want to go back and get them. So, all right. Notice what it says here in 1 John 5. I love this. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You believe that?
Amen.
All right, you're born of God. Isn't that simple? Not real complicated. How many of you believe that Jesus is the Christ? He's the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one sent to die for our sins. Okay? Well, now, according to the Scripture, it says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, that's real simple. I believe that, so I must be born of God. If I really truly believe that. Okay? And everyone who loves him who begot, I love God who begot me, also loves him who is begotten of him. So I love you. Isn't that right or wrong? I'm supposed to. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous or impossible or hard. You can do this. You really can do this. Well, I just can't. No, you can. You don't know what happened to me. It doesn't matter. You don't know what happened to me either. Are you with me? But you can do this. You say, well, how can you say that? Because God says that. Well, how can you tell me that? Because God's telling you that. And you just have to take that up with him. Because it's not me, it's me telling you what he said. Amen? So this is not impossible. You can do this. You say, well, you don't know what's happened to my family. Listen, family, there's all kinds of things happening to family. Abusive situations with children and wives and husbands and so on and so forth. And life can be such a mess. It can be just evil. And life is evil. I mean, God's good. Life's not good. God's good. And one day this will all be changed, and thank God that day's coming, and we're going to have a new heaven, a new earth, and there'll be no more pain, no more sighing, no more crying, no more dying, there'll be no more hospitals, there'll be no more funeral homes, no divorce courts. Are you with me? There'll be no more of that. Nothing that hurts or harms will happen there. But now we're living in a world where that does happen. I understand that. But God has given us the ability to overcome those things, to rise above those things. It's not what happens to you that determines your destiny and your future. It's what you do when something happens to you that determines your future and your destiny. It's not what your mother did and what your father did. It's not what your husband or your ex-wife or your boss or your kids or whatever the case may be. No. Come on now. Listen, you're not a victim of that. He said, but you don't realize what's happened to me. Well, no, I don't. And you don't know what's happened to me, and you don't know what's happened to everybody else in here. We all got a tale to tell and a story to tell. But at some point, we're going to have to get a hold of the Word of God and overcome this evil with good.
Yes, that's right.
Overcome it.
Yeah.
Everybody say overcome.
Overcome.
Dominate it. Rule it. Overcome it.
Yes.
Instead of letting it rule and dominate and overcome us.
Yes.
And that's a process, and I understand it. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to the evil, the thing, the tragedy that happened to you, the sin that took place. Don't be conformed to it. Be transformed.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
That word transform in the Greek is metamorphos. Or, you know, we get, you know, like, you remember Transformers?
Yeah.
Where these cars turn into these robots and Transformers, robots in disguise. Remember that? Okay, I will not do that again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It just came out. I'm sorry. Okay. But God wants us to be transformed into Christian.
Yeah.
You with me? Love.
Yeah.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
Be not conformed.
That's right.
Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, there it is. There's the rub right there, see. We hadn't been told, or we've lied to ourselves, or we've been lied to. Been run over, we've been bamboozled. But the truth is here. All the truth is out there.
Yeah.
It's right here. The truth is that if you're born of God, you have overcome the world.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's what it says here in the fourth verse. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God. Whoever and whatever. I like that. You can make say it this way. Whatever is born of God. Love is born of God. That will overcome hate. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Forgiveness is born of God. I believe Alexander Pope said, you know, to err is human, to forgive is divine. Forgiveness is born of God. It comes from heaven. Forgiveness does. And the things that come from heaven that are born from God, they overcome the world. So forgiveness will overcome hate and unforgiveness. Won't it? Hey, holiness will overcome sinfulness. Love will overcome anger. Why? Because that's born of God. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Man, I love that. And of course, I am born of God, so I'm born to overcome. Doesn't mean I always will, but I'm supposed to. I should, provided I do what He says. But the things that are birthed from Him, that anger you got, where did that come from? You need to ask yourself that question. That revengeful spirit, you want to get back at somebody, where did you get that thought? Where did that come from? Did that come from God? Well, you don't need to do that if it didn't come from God. Isn't that right? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And if you want to overcome this thing, you're going to have to start acting on things that come from God.
Amen.
You are born of God, and these things are come from God. Love comes from God. Forgiveness comes from God. Holiness comes from God. Praying for people comes from God. That's what God would do.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? And so we need to do that. Let's do that. And we'll be free.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Free at last, free at last, free at last. Yeah. From doing what God says.
Yeah.
Man, that's powerful stuff. So He says this, and I'll close this out. For real, this is my final closing. That's like you know, when a... What is that? Old gospel preacher looks at his watch. You know what that means? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. Okay. Fourth and fifth verse. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Our faith in God's Word. He said, love, I believe it works. I'm going to do it because I believe God and I trust God. He said, pray for them. I'm going to pray for them when I don't feel like it and when I just, man, I want to take their head off. But I'm going to pray because God says so and He's right and I trust God and my faith is going to overcome this in Jesus' name. This bad thing happened to me, but it's not going to ruin my life. It's not going to determine my destiny. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to overcome this thing. The choices you make, see, the choices you make. If you choose to do what God says, you will overcome and not be overcome. You can be a victim or you can be a victor. You really can make that choice. You have to make that choice. It's kind of like those two guys, you know, you've probably heard the story. I said I was closing, I am, but I didn't say how long. Those two guys, Mikey and Marky, I always like to say that. Mikey and Marky had an alcoholic father, you know, and Marky winds up in the gutter and in and out of rehab and in and out of open door missions and, you know, just can't kick it. And they asked Marky, I said, Marky, what's wrong? What's the deal? How come you're an alcoholic? Why is you can't overcome this? And he says, my dad was an alcoholic. And Mikey, you know, he's CEO of a company and just doing great and doesn't drink and even sits down at a power lunch, you know, with somebody making a sale and they get some alcohol or whatever. And he says, no, I don't drink. And I said, you don't drink? No. He says, well, Mike, what's your story? Why is it you doing so well? And he says, and why don't you drink? Why don't you drink? Why? He says, I don't drink because my dad was an alcoholic.
That's right.
Mm. Wow.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, one of them turned out the way they were because they didn't think they had a choice, and that's the way their dad was, and that's the way they were.
Yeah.
The other one took what happened to their dad as an example not to follow. No hatred for his dad, nothing wrong with that. But he decided he wasn't going to be that way. See, what happens in life is not what determines your destiny. It's what you do about it. It's the choices you make. You've been abused. You've had this happen. Or, you know, I mean, there's people raised up been sexually abused. And I mean, terrible, ungodly things that happen to people. But I tell you what, that is not who you are, and that is not your destiny, and that is not your future. You are a child of the living God, and you have overcome. Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world.
Yes.
And you are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. And you've got the victory in Christ Jesus. And you triumph in Christ.
Yes.
And if you're born of God, you overcome the world.
Yes.
You just don't know it yet. You need to get a hold of it. Amen. So He says this in closing, final. This is it. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Man, that's me. Is that you?
Yes.
I'm going to start overcome instead of be overcome.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean you're going to walk out of here and be perfect. I mean, you may just fall flat on your face. Get back up.
Yeah.
Just get back up. Don't belabor it. Just get back up. Work on it.
Yeah.
We're going to get better at this in Jesus' name. We're going to get better at this anger thing, this unforgiveness thing, bitterness thing,
yes.
Worthlessness thing. I'm so worthless. No, you're not worthless.
Come on.
I can't get anything right. Yes, you can get it right. You can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can. You are somebody. You count. Jesus died for you. Shed His blood for you. Spread His arms out on the cross and died for you. You count. You mean something to Him. Hallelujah. You're important to God. And you're sure important to us. We love you. We're for you. Woo. Don't be overcome by evil. You overcome evil good. Amen.